Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And we're going to, I think I put up the nature, I can't remember what I titled, the true nature of false teachers. It's kind of funny that Brother Mike mentioned something about the devil attacking, because obviously just today when I looked at the text this week, I didn't really want to preach it. I wonder, and I tried my best to, kind of never change the scripture, but to come from a different angle that wouldn't be, I guess, redundant. Because what we're going to talk about is false teachers. And if you're like me, I'm about tired of hearing about that. I've said it in every sermon because it's the context, but we've talked about it. We talked about counterfeit truths, I believe. I didn't look back. I didn't want to look back at my old sermon because I knew if I saw it, I was going to repeat myself, that would make it even worse. So, but what we have to do, or as a pastor, we have to be true to what the Word of God says. And today we're going to look at verses 12 through 15. And like I said, I really feel like, especially at first, I've been redundant. I really struggled. I had my outline. I erased it after I had started. And I just kind of went back to, and what I do sometimes we try to overthink the Word of God. So sometimes we just have to look and say, okay, what is this verse teaching? And write that down. And then kind of build that one. And that's what I'm supposed to do, just teach the truth that the Word of God teaches. And really, as I started studying again and redoing it, it's really the nature of false teaching, which kind of goes with last week. We talked about the mark of a genuine believer. So, and you could, if you want to go from a different direction, you could do this as well as the nature of the mark of a false teacher. But I want to go in this direction. And I think this is why it's going to be redundant. We need to hear it again. You know, God knows what the Word of God says. He knew how I'm going to preach it 2 or 3 weeks ago. He knew what was going to happen today. So, I think it's because we're in danger. Each of you, I think, are in more danger than you realize. Let me read an excerpt by Kerry Schmidt, a book entitled Hook, Line, and Sinker. By the way, Kerry Schmidt is a really good author. I trust his. Nowadays they all, he always has been very conservative, and I think he still is. I had an opportunity to hear him preach a couple times. This is what he said. If you had a contract out on your life, and a sniper was hunting you, what would you do? Other than panic, you might try to protect yourself. You would probably research the ways that the sniper has killed before and then try to defend yourself against his tactics. You would probably contact higher authority and depend on their help as well. Whatever the case, you wouldn't sit back and let it happen easily. Well, today you do have a contract out in your life and on your family. It's not a physical contract to kill, but it's a spiritual contract to the buyer. Even after you read these words in the book, an enemy that you cannot see is plotting against you and those you love. He never stopped laying and springing traps. Yet many Christians do nothing. They don't panic. They don't protect themselves or families. They don't contact God. And as a result, they are devoured. I believe the reason we need to repeat this message about false teachers is I think we need to wake up. I know the average Christian is very naive and blinded. They're blinded or being seduced. We are being seduced. Now, I will say that probably not to the degree of Judas, but to the degree of Peter. You see, Peter didn't reject Jesus, did he? But Peter slowly didn't listen and obey. Even when Jesus shook him and said, wake up and pray, Jesus didn't even do that. Or Peter didn't do that. Why? Because he didn't realize what was coming. We can gradually be affected by the opposing forces' philosophies. False teachers do come in forms of people and teachers and religion, but it also comes in the form of philosophies and ideals, trends that sometimes we don't even realize. We're taught not to reject Jesus, but to accept and tolerate things that are not biblical. I want you to realize that. See, that's the thing that most, especially in America, we're not taught, for the most part, to reject Jesus. We're taught to tolerate and to practice things in our own lives that go against the Word of God. I'll give you an example of how naive we are. Me and my wife watch that real life Mulan. How you say her name? The Disney Mulan. Japanese woman that pretends to be a man and goes into a cartoon movie, but it meant a real life. Pretty good movie. It was pretty entertaining, clean. But here's what it teaches. And it's a Disney movie, by the way. The first one. She rebelled against her father. She rebelled against the Chinese government, because she's not supposed to be a woman, not supposed to be in the army. She goes through, she excels, she comes home, she receives honor from everybody, and her dad is the one that's wrong. Her dad, at the end of the movie, apologized to her. You said, well, you're just going too far. Okay, sonny, do you want Owen to rebel against you? And do you want him to be secretive? And go behind your back and do something? Okay, so I don't think we're going to take it too far. Now, once again, me and the adult, I can watch that and it not affect me. And obviously, even Owen could probably watch that and not be affected. But we need to make sure we talk to our kids that, hey, that's not the way to do it. What are they doing? They're teaching that if you rebel, then you're going to be receive honor. It's just going to work out. Your mom and dad don't know what's best. Exactly what they're doing. It makes me think that your way is better than anyone else's way. You say, I don't think I'm going too far. I mean, even like a long time ago, I'm not proud to watch this, but I watched Twilight. I remember that was a big deal? Twilight, the movie? It's been a long time. I watched it, I was a lot younger then. And everybody was against it. And I didn't really know. I was like, what's so bad about it? It wasn't great, but it wasn't just terrible. And I asked my cousin, who's a youth pastor, I said, what's so wrong with you? Why did he say that? What did he say? He said, because it teaches secrecy from parents. It teaches rebellion to parents. It teaches that kids are miserable when they're with their parents. It teaches that some boy besides your father or some girl besides your mother can love you more and care more about you. Well, that's pretty good. Pretty good. Do you know why kids hate their parents? Well, maybe because what you let them watch day in and day out. I mean, I remember Kurt Skelly, he's a pretty, big-name pastor. He broke down the hidden messages of Disney movies. Now, I can't remember what they were, but it was pretty good. And it was amazing, like, man. That's just one example of how naive we are. And by the way, do you not know, even in the 90s, you not realize that most sitcom, who was the idiot? The father. The dad. Who was the bozo? The dad. Who didn't have any sense? The dad. That's on purpose. What's the problem with America? Fatherless homes. That's the problem. What do you know? So we need to not be naive. And that's just one point. My point is, I'm saying all that, and we need to wake up. We don't need to go to sleep during this sermon, because it's needed more than you realize. You need to realize that there's a spiritual battle. And it's Satan uses people and philosophy, trends, to seduce and destroy. So instead of being shy and timid about being redundant, I think we need to preach it with more urgency, because it is urgent. So we'll explain this more in the first point. But here's the context. The false teachers are attacking Paul. Paul defends himself by saying he's a true apostle and gives us the mark of a genuine believer. Last week, we talk about how that a true believer promotes God's word as truth. He places others first, and he perseveres during resistance. Paul then revealed to us the true nature of false apostles in these remaining verses. The first nature that we will look at, that a false teacher, is false teachers are active. And that one day, I mean, today not going to blow your mind, but let's look here at verse 12. I mean, we started off last week talking about this, and we'll kind of go back. We'll go back one step and go two steps forward. But when I do that, what I do, that I may cut off occasion from them with desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Like I said, we talked about this last week a little bit. But the false teachers are active, they are at work, they are present. And that's the thing, many people don't even think that. I think most people think when they watch movies and listen to music and all these trends that are going on, and you don't think the devil sees the big picture? That's the problem. Now here's the dilemma. So we're going to kind of get into the actual what's going on here. So here's the dilemma. The self-appointed apostles were in a dilemma. These false apostles, they had came to Corinth and they had demanded to be paid and did receive money. And as we learned last week, Paul didn't get paid. He refused to start getting paid. This put them in an awkward situation. Paul's refusal to take money from the Corinthian posed a major problem for the false teachers. Since they did take money, they were caught in the horn of a dilemma. To continue to do so left them in an awkward and embarrassing position in comparison to Paul. On the other hand, to refuse to be paid was unthinkable because they were there for the money. If they took money and Paul didn't, then they didn't look like they were the greatest Paul, which is what they were trying to do. But to not take money was also ridiculous because they were there to get paid. They're in a dilemma, which leads here to the decision. We see that in verse 12, and then what we talked about last week. But what I do, I will continue to do. Paul refused the ideal of getting paid. The only way for the false teachers to get money and still look good, Brother Darrell, was if they could convince Paul and push him to get paid. That was what they had to do. And so what's happening, and what you got to remember, is that they secretly wanted Paul to change his practice so they wouldn't look bad. They were putting all this pressure on Paul. What happens today? Oh, man, let your kid do that. Oh, it's no big deal. Even church members. Oh, that's fine. Anyway, that's what's happening here. That's what's happening. And Paul says this. He says, but what I do, that will I do. He basically, what I'm doing, I will continue to do. He rejected that. Now, here's the reason why. Why did Paul do that? I mean, we know, Miss Jean, that it wasn't wrong for them to take money, or for Paul to take money, because he talked about in 1 Corinthians, about chapter 9, I think, that it was not wrong for a minister to get paid. But he refused to do so. He had been in want. We learned about it a couple of weeks ago. He knew what it was to have nothing. So why did he not do that? Because he wanted to expose them for what they were. That's what he says. Look, he says that I may cut off occasion from them when desire occasion, that therein they glory, that they may be found as we. He didn't want to give them any opportunity to say that they were the same as Paul. They wanted Paul to take the money. Then they could say we're equal. But Paul wasn't having it. Paul used his occasion to reveal to the Corinthians the false teachers were in their midst. Paul wanted them to know that they loved money. So Paul knew what they were going to do. Paul knew that the false teachers were not going to quit taking money. And Paul said, here's the opportunity for me to show them what they really are. Paul wanted them to know what he already knew, and that was that false teachers were active in their midst. That's what he knew. He said, here's Corinth, and here's all the false teachers. And Paul said, I want you to know that, he said, by me not taking money, maybe it'll open your eyes to see that they're there, and the false teachers are here attacking you. The same thing true with us. False teachers, and what I mean, by the way, false philosophies, doctrine, you know, and I don't mean just somebody on TV who's teaching falsehood. I'm talking about even, I'll get to it here in a minute. They are actively attacking. Jesus said in Matthew 7:15, beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep clothing. Jeremiah said this, how long shall you be in the heart of the prophet that prophesies lies? Yea, that they are prophets of the deceit of their own heart. 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit. Believe not every spirit. I just get so sick and tired of people that just going to go to a Christian bookstore and pick up a book don't mean that it is biblical. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God. But I don't think that's what most, I don't think the average believer does that. You may say this, we got it, Preacher Will. We understand that they are false teachers. Then here it is, then wake up. Wake up. I feel like many of us are like Peter in the garden. Jesus told us to be ready, but he slept. I'm afraid that many of us are sleeping. You need to wake up. There's false teachers in the midst. It may be a relative. What? It's going to make some of y'all mad. It kind of happened in my life. And if you have a grandparent, if you have a kid and the grandparent is that unspiritual influence on them, you should probably limit how much time they spend with them. I won't get in that, but if your kid's best friend is your cousin and they're not saved, you need to limit your time. Why? Because unsaved people are going to have false doctrine. They live according to the flesh. I read a book about that, one guy said, I don't know why my dad let me go to my grandpa's house. Because he was, everything his grandpa was the opposite of what his dad was. And it could be aunts and uncles. And I see that a lot with the cousins. Just because they're your cousin, don't mean you need to hang out with them. That doesn't give you a waiver as well. They're not saved, but here's my wife, they're my cousins, so they're not going to affect me spiritually. Yeah, they're going to affect them. Billy could be your cousin, or Billy could not be your cousin. But if he's an unsaved cousin, he's going to have an effect on your kids spiritually and on you as well. You may be that person. You may have a family member who your best buds with, and they're pulling you down with their false doctrine. It could be a friend. It could be a show. It could be a teacher. It could be a song. It could be a book. We need to wake up. False teachers are active. They are attacking, and sometimes it seems like they're winning. We need to be sober. We need to be alone. Just because you don't see it doesn't mean it's not happening. When you might say, well, I don't see the big deal. That's because they're slick. They're tricky. Which leads us to the second point. False teachers are deceitful. That's the next nature. That's the thing. That's why you don't see it coming. That's why you can watch a movie and not really see what's really teaching. Oh, I didn't really see it like that. Yeah. Stop being critical of movies like you are everything else. And you'll start realizing, that really don't teach a good message, not the underlining message. Think about it. Most of y'all watch Mulan, but I'm out in the gray. And I'm not saying it's an entertaining movie. But that's exactly, it teaches that a girl went out, she rebelled against everything that she wasn't supposed to do, and she came out on top. You can go try that and you'll be in jail when you get older. Because rebellion doesn't help you be successful. That's what the world is trying to teach. Do your own thing, do it your own way, and you'll come out on top. No, you won't. False teachers are deceitful. Let's look at verse 13. He said, for such are false teachers, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostle of Christ. And you can already see why I come up with that point. Because it's pretty clear. That's what I wrote down. I said, what is that verse teaching? Oh, they're deceitful. Let's look here at a few things. They are so deceitful that they have us thinking there's nothing to be worried about. Nothing to be alert about, but there is. Let's look first at their attributes. Verse 13 says this, for such are false apostles. We'll stop right there. The word false apostle is a Greek word that's used nowhere else in the New Testament. Why I'm telling you that, I don't really know. That's what the book said. I thought it is interesting, but I don't really know what the point. Most likely, Paul himself come up with this word. But what does it mean? That's really what's important. It means imposter. Or it carries the idea of imposter. It carries the idea to pretend. See, these apostles in the passage were imposters whose aim was to usurp the apostle authority. That's exactly what false teachers, false truths, and false philosophies, they are pretending. They are imposters. Some are pretending to be God when they're not. Some are not pretending to be God, but they pretend to have the answers. They pretend to have wisdom. They pretend to have the key to life. They pretend to have the answer to peace, the joy. Yet it doesn't line up with Scripture. See, there's some philosophy, they don't claim to be God at all. They just claim to have a better way. Live your best life. You deserve to be happy. You realize that everything's about entitlement now? Yeah, everybody's getting entitled. You know, like, you see car commercial. You deserve a new car. You're entitled to it. That's a world we live in. You're entitled, you know, you deserve it. You've worked hard. Entitled. But anyway, you're entitled to a good life. And they give you all these things that are not biblical. They claim to be experts when they're not. They're imposters. Think about all the philosophies that are anti-biblical. Well, they claim to know, they claim to have the answers to life. They claim to have the answers to how to have a happy marriage. They claim to have the answers to how to financial peace. All these things. But the problem, they don't. Because if you go to get the Word of God, it's not the answer. They're imposters. But yet we swallow it, hook, line, and sinker. They don't know. They're imposters. But what they are trying to do, and at the end of the day, they're trying to usurp God's authority. And they may not even realize what they're doing. But that's what they're doing. They're trying to get you to believe some ideal other than the Word of God. Some philosophy. Well, yeah, I think the Bible says die to yourself. And my wife was talking about we were walking, we were hiking. She would not quit talking. She talked the whole time. I mean, it's just like nonstop. She gets like that sometimes. But she would quote the verse, tell me all about the Bible. I'm like, okay, that's great. And she said, you know, we're probably living sacrifices. And she said about that. A lot of people get that verse messed up. But she's right about, she had it right. We're going to be living sacrifices. Not what the world teaches, though. What would the world teach? Live your best life. Live for you. Take care of yourself. See, like that. That's anti-biblical. Then you wonder why you're miserable. Because that's not what the Bible actually says. See, well, that's how naive we've gotten sucked in. Not only are they fake, but they're deceitful. And that's the next thing it says there. It's deceitful workers. The word deceitful suggests the use of a bait to entrap. And Warren Rim said it's the basic idea of fishing, to catch fish. They're warning you, deceiving you, and thinking that something's real when it's not. Which is that what you do when you fish. You're taking something, you're trying to make it seem like something harmless, something that's good for them, something that's going to make them satisfied and happy, and when a fish bites it, then it's not. That's exactly what false doctrine and false philosophies say. You know, just like that. The world will tell you, you know, and I'm going to hit on this a lot, you probably wonder why, because it's the real pandemic in the church. Sex outside of marriage. They try to say, that's the way to have a happy marriage. It's just, you get the test out of bullets. There's studies that'll show you that if you have sex before marriage, and you have more likely chance of your marriage not working afterwards. And you bring a whole lot of things in your life, personally and collectively. But what the world's got us thinking, that's a thing to do. No, it's not. They're trying to make you think that it is good and it's going to help you, but it's not going to help you. That's just one, there's tons of examples. Paul describes them as fake and deceitful, just like a fishing bait. We see here the attributes, but now look at the actions. The actions. Look at verse 13 again. And it says that we can continue to progress. And it says transforming them. So that's actually not a verb, but it's a participle, but it's used as a verb, I think. So transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. The word transform means to change one's appearance. The ESV says this, to disguise themselves. That's what they're doing. They're disguising themselves. Your subject is transformed. And here's the problem, though. It's the idea of the outside only. It's the outside. the outer appearance. They change the outside, but not the inside. They're actually that they are disguising themselves to be something that they're not. A good word would be masquerade. They pretend to be of us, but they're not. They're doing their best to masquerade as the truth. At the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. We gotta see that. They're a spiritual battle. You know, maybe the person actually saying it don't mean it that way, but the devil sure does. He's trying to do anything and everything to get you to think that something else is the truth and not the word of God. I mean, as simple as someone telling you, hey, just go ahead and lie, it'll be okay. What are they doing? They're trying to get you to think that lying is going to lead to, peace and happiness. And that's the true answer. Well, we know the word of God don't teach that. And even that simple of a statement, you know, that's a false teaching. That comes from some even church member, maybe. And trying to undermine to think that lying is the truth and that not lying is not the truth. They are fishing. Trying to trick you and me into thinking that their message is true just where they can hook us. Let me read another thing from Kerry Schmidt. The fisherman is Satan himself. The bait is vast variety of deceptive tactics and worldly philosophies. And the fish are young lives and families. Over the years, because he was a long-time youth pastor at a big church. Over the years, he said, I've watched the fish I debate curiously, longingly, hungrily. I've watched him consider the pros and cons, weigh out the option, and ignore the warning of God's word. Then, I've seen him do the unthinkable. Bite. Why did they bite? They were deceived by the falsehood of Satan's message and messengers. They bite. And of course, obviously, it was teaching with teenagers. You see it. The teenager, they're being tricked into thinking that don't look to your parents. And like I said, I know in some cases the parents, not true of every family, but by and large, the guardian of that kid, I'm telling this when I worked in Christian school and in kids' church and even here, for the most part, by and large, the man and woman you live with, there's not be a man and woman that love you more than them two. But what does the devil get teenagers think? Oh, this cute little boy, this pretty little girl. Oh, they love me more than anyway. They're out to look out for me. They know what's best for me. And they stiff arm their mom and dad. Well, that's what the devil wants. They've tricked them. They've lured them into thinking that that's the truth when it's not the truth. Even a good, godly girl or boy who's not selfish, that's still not what they need. That's what the devil says. And most of y'all buy into that. Y'all buy into the dating culture. I don't know, I have kids, I don't care, but, you know, like that. Do they really need to be dating? They can't get married. What's the point? I mean, I've heard people say you shouldn't start dating until, you know, you can get married. When you think about all the sexual impurity goes on, what happened? Kids start dating at 15. Well, I know what I do. I know what I want to do when I start dating. That's why I got married. But you have to wait 10 years to get married, so what happened? Didn't I have sex? And then you wonder why. What caused he couldn't get married? Anyway, that's a whole other sermon there, but it's true. Think about it. Think about why there's so much sexual impurity. But the devil, he got them thinking that, and then they won't talk to their parents. They won't. And then what happens, like my cousin, my other cousin, youth pastor, I got a lot of youth pastors in my family. I ain't got the only one that have two, and another one, a pastor. But then that boy they love someone, they break up 6 months later, and then the world's crashing, and they never recover. They never recover. The devil got them. And they've got scars and all that to go with it. And then you wonder why they're as miserable as they are. Satan has deceived them. And in deceiving us as well. False teachers are deceptive. What do we do? What do we do? That's really a big question. What do we do? Be prepared. Jesus said this in Matthew 24:5, and Jesus answered and said to him, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed. Be prepared. Jesus said, take heed. Listen to the warning. He said, know that you can fall. 1 Corinthians 10. Therefore, let anyone who think that he can stand take heed, lest he can fall. You can fall. You can be seduced and not even realize it. Like, that's one thing which I see it well, especially the church, and parents who, they think their kids are just perfect, and they're never going to make a mistake, and they're never going to be tempted. Can't he know your kids can fall? Can't he know that their spirit may be willing, but their flesh is weak? Take heed, and then take action. Be prepared. Be wise. That's what we do. When first we wake up, and then we sober up, and then we become vigilant. 1 Peter 5:8, I'm going to read it in the ESV. Be sober, be watchful. Watchful. Be prepared. Be looking. Be asking questions. Like, well, what did that movie really teach you? And give a relationship with my kid good. And give a relationship with me good. Be asking, be thinking, be prepared. Be paranoid. And wake up and be watchful. That's what you need to do. You need to be watchful of what you're listening to, what you're believing, what you're letting your kids do. I'll give a good example of where we're at today. Let's take Bobby. Bobby's 12 years old. Bobby is gifted. He really is a gifted kid athletically. Yet he formed a relationship on a team with unsaved people. You see that he's suffering spiritually. What do you do? Well, we gotta play ball. I'm not saying there's not some avenues you can do, but if it comes to the point, okay, I know my kid's gonna suffer spiritually, or I'm gonna suffer in the sports. What's more important? Probably the average church member today, the average parent would say sports are more important. They deceive themselves. They don't say it like that, but that's what they're saying. Well, he got to know. That's what the devil's telling you. He ain't got to play sports. But that's where we're at. And it's not just sports, in every other area. We're deceived. We're deceived. We question anything we do and don't do. We should question practices and habits. Should be questioned. We should really be paranoid to some degree. Not really, but we should. We're paranoid about what they eat, aren't we? We're paranoid about their physical bodies. Even ours, to some degree. But when it comes to spiritual things, we never blink an eye like, how does this affect, and even for you, how has this affected me? How is this TV show affecting me? Now what, day in, day out. How these person I'm hanging out with, how did it affect me spiritually? But all that, I'm in another, here's the thing, why should we question everything? Because many families and lives are being ruined each day by the deception of Satan and false teachers. I'll read another excerpt from that book. Today, the devil ended up pulling in an occasional fish. He schooled the fish by the thousand and hooking them faster than we can imagine. He's having more fishing success than ever before, and is slaughtering an enormous, spiritually speaking. You say, well, you're just, that guy's paranoid. How many of you have a family member that has been deceived and are no longer in church right now? How many of you have a family member who's been deceived and has never chosen to get saved and are destroying their life? How many can stand up and testify? My point exactly. Satan is deceiving people. And he's deceiving you and you think there's not a problem when there is. So no, I'm not being paranoid. No, the author of that book is not paranoid. Jesus is not paranoid because even Jesus said that. What we need to do, we need to wake up and wise up. We need to wake up and wise up. We lull ourselves to sleep by saying, well, they said a prayer. They're not living for God, but if they die, they'd go to heaven. No, they're not. They're not saved. First of all, prayer is not what saves you. Faith is what saves you. And in your heart is not what saves you. Faith saves you. And then if you have true faith changes you. You're not perfect, but the direction of life and according to the Bible, Like last week, you persevere. No, they're not saved. And we've lulled ourselves asleep. And then we're not in the message that we need to be. And you wonder why America's the way it is. Because Satan's deceived us. That's why. Wake up. Get your head out of the sand. Have some discernment. Have some caution. I said this, I think, when I tried out, but it's an illustration I used a long time ago. I didn't put it in my note, but I'll say it. This is really how we need to be. I remember when I was single. I came in late one night, and I opened the door, and I shut it, and then I heard something like that, like I think it was 2 times. And it kind of scared me. I'm not gonna lie. But I knew I had to face it. So I had a gun, I got my gun, and I started walking through the house, turned every light on. I mean, I was on pins and needles. Glad there wasn't nobody there, because I would have shot him out of fear. I would have. I was on pins and needles. I was zoned in to everything. I was looking. I was on guard. I was ready to defend. I was alert. That's how we need to be, spiritually speaking. But that's not how we are. We're like, oh, I heard something. I don't go on a bed. Maybe it won't kill me. That's what we do spiritually. I don't go on a bed. Maybe it won't kill my kid. Spiritually speaking, oh, maybe it won't. But it is. That's false teacher or deceitful. We need to wake up. Because false teacher's true nature is satanic. They're out to seek and destroy. That's the third thing here. And that they are, the true nature is they are satanic. Look at verse 13. As I said, it's very simple. Not 13. 14, excuse me. I don't know why I put 13. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers will also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. So the first thing we see here is the designation. All right, look at me, and we ran it on in verse 15. It says, transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Oh, no, hold on, go back. Therefore, it is no great thing if him ministers. Now, I'm not a real big English guy, but I know there's a pronoun antecedent, it's something like that, you know? Him, in referring back to Satan, these false teachers, these false philosophies are satanic. They are servants of Satan. In a reference, so what he's saying is that these false theologies, these false teachings, they're all messengers, they're all tools of Satan. Now, we understand that. But, you know, we don't understand, but if somebody tells you to lie, then that's just satanic. Because that's against the Word of God. They're loyal to Satan. False teachers are satanic and are being used by Satan. We see the designation, now look at the description. And then when we start looking at Satan himself, and it says that Satan's ability is he can transform himself into an angel of light. And it says that in verse 14. It says that no more for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light, which goes back to he can deceive, he can transform. But what's really important is an ambition. Now, think for a minute. What ambition does Satan have? What he used his ability for? I put in all cap. I mean, you're supposed to scream it, right? I'm not going to scream it. To destroy. You need to get through your heads. Satan's ambition, his goal, his purpose is to destroy. We see a first-hand illustration with Eve. Adam and Eve, he wanted to destroy. I know some of y'all are like, oh, get this over with. Because I am going over a little bit. Oh, but then quit doing the thing you're doing. I mean, I see it all the time. And you wonder why later, oh, I don't know why I'm not living for God. Because you're not waking up. Garbage in, garbage out. You're not realizing. You're not waking up. 1 Peter 5:8 said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour. Paul said in Timothy, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil. I did a little trapping back in the day, and I used trap leg holes. I did snares. I caught a beaver one time in a snare. I was very proud of myself. But guess what happened to that beaver? I didn't let him go. I killed it. That's what happened when you put out a snare. The devil has snared out when you, and the devil ain't gonna let you go. He's gonna kill you. Spiritually speaking. He's gonna kill you. Luke 22, Jesus said, and the Lord said to Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. What does that mean? The sifting of Simon Peter and others is Satan's effort to destroy their faith. And that remains Satan's goal today. And it's frustrating because I can see people now, who I know in 10 years, especially with their kids or something, they're gonna be off to, not even live with Jesus. And it'll be hard at that point not to say, well, we didn't do anything the Bible said. Anything. Wake up. And even in your own life, hey, just because you're maybe older, don't mean that you can't backslide. And don't mean that, because sometimes what happens is because you're older, you think, well, I've got it all figured out. That's exactly what Satan wants you to know. Because some of y'all, I like some of the shows y'all watch, y'all don't even be watching them. You have no sense in watching Big Brother. I'm going to tell you right now. I don't know who that was, but I heard that in the when I was passing by. You no sense in watching that. No more than I have any sense watching it. But see, that's what it is. Well, a preacher can't. He's young, but I can't. No, you can't. You shouldn't be watching it either. Wake up! He's satanic. He's satanic. Satan's out to destroy. His servants are out to destroy. So this is the why. Why should we care about false teachers' philosophies? Because it destroys. They are actually out there trying to deceive when they destroy you and your family. That's why you need to wake up. Here's the true nature. As we conclude here, the nature of false teachers. They are active. They're deceitful. And they're satanic. So what we need to do, we need to wake up. We need to wise up. And here's the third one I think that applies the most. We need to walk away. That's the problem with most of y'all. Y'all love what I'm saying, I think, for the most part. You may not even be convicted, but are you going to walk away? Are you going to separate yourself? Are you going to separate yourself from the things that you're doing? Are you? Because that's where we go. We're good at hearing, but we're not that good at doing. Are we going to walk away? That's what we need to do. That's what we get from it. And we need to wake up. We need to wise up. We need to have some discernment. And we need to walk away. That's what we need to do today. I don't know what's in your life. I know something that I need to, because again, it starts gradually. It may not be nothing big. Maybe something simple. Something little. And if we say, well, it's no big deal. That's Satan deceiving you. Satan deceiving you. Kind of like they say about drinking. You know, the drink, they say, you take a drink, the drink takes the drink, and the drink takes you. And you talk about the progression. How nothing ever starts off, everything starts off small. What we need to do today. That's the true nature of false teachers. Let's stand to our feet with our head bowed and eyes closed. I don't know exactly what it is. Maybe you're off the track big time. Maybe you're being lulled to sleep. Maybe you're not questioning anything. But you need to. You need to. And it is definitely a sermon that really applies to parenting. I'm not a parent, but it definitely does. Because that's what I see over and over. Even just as I'm not that old. And even when I worked at the other church, I was young. But I see it. I mean, I can what about give you that as a recipe for disaster? But I won't do it right now, because y'all want to go home. What the thing to do to make sure your kid's not in church and not living for Jesus. And all they hear it, yeah, we need to be waiting, but they're not. They're not walking away. They're not willing to pay the price. They're not willing to deny themselves for Jesus. But even as adults, sometimes we think because we're adults, we're immune. We're immune to that TV show. Hey, you know what I mean? I'm not going to watch many shows for very long that promote affairs, sex outside of marriage. Why? Because even me, it desensitizes you. You don't need to do that. Like that. You don't need to do that. Like that. People watch shows all the time and then wonder why something happens later. Well, once you put it in, what you gonna do eventually? You say, no, that's Satan telling you that. You're being deceived right now. You say, them shows are no big deal. Then that's Satan deceiving you. I don't know what it is in your life, but whatever it is, if God spoke to you, I want to challenge you today to ask Him to help you. Maybe you need to repent. Maybe you need to be a little wiser. Maybe you need to wake up. Maybe you're just so asleep that you need to wake up. When you do that today, let's pray. Father, thank you for this day. I thank you for all that you've done, Lord, and all you're going to do. Lord, I ask you to be with all of us, Lord. I know all of us, even on a small scale, we're all deceived. Anytime we do anything that doesn't go according to your word, we're being deceived. But I think something else is the truth. Lord, help us, Lord, to really grab a hold of the truth and have the mindset that this is what I'm going to do no matter what. I want to ask you to help us to do that today. I want to thank you for all that you've done in Christ's name. Amen.